But I'm very interested to try banana flour. So, yeah,
interesting.
But there's a lot more that are, I guess, that they're saying that Whole Foods specifically, their trend spotters are really keeping a close eye out for some newcomers in the next year, which I think I'm going to have to take some trips and try out some new flours.
What would they make banana, like the banana flour out of?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's definitely whatever something kind of sorcery they're out. Doing in there.
Number three is foods from West Africa. And this is something I'm not very, when I read it, there was a couple of things I knew about. But the one that we've seen a lot recently is Morgina.
Moringa.
Moringa. I was so close.
Morgina.
Morgina. How dare you.
Not even close.
So,
Moringa.
I almost said it again. I almost said Morgina because of you.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got a dandy of an episode. We're going to look into
dandy.
Our... Yeah, that's right.
You said dandy?
We're going to look into our crystal ball. Actually, we're going to look into a crystal ball provided by an article that Shannon found about some predictions on what you will be seeing in Whole Foods in 2020. Some of the new wave of health food fads, if you will.
Yeah, and I have to say I was pretty surprised to see this coming so early because it's still October.
Yes.
October?
It is.
Yeah,
barely.
It's still October. I mean, yes. It's practically November, but... Usually you see these articles like almost near Christmas or even afterwards.
Right. And speaking of October, we're still doing our October challenges. So that means that you guys hopefully are participating in them also, which is walking 15 minutes a day and adding in a fruit or vegetable into every meal that you eat during the day. Guys, make sure you participate by shooting us a video of you.
If you don't say shooting us, just shooting a video. And sending it to us.
Okay. Shooting us, sending us. Sorry. Sorry if that's nowadays. That's such a bad way
that
of phrasing things.
Odd.
Anyways. So, yeah. Let us know how you're doing with these challenges by reaching out to us. You can contact us on the Facebook page, the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page, or on Instagram. I'm at ETTAMPA, and she is...
Shannon JP.
Yes. So, hashtag... ATF podcast challenge. So, training recaps. Got a little bit better this week. Not much. I know last week we were still getting recovered from our vacation. And then this week, of course, I started off strong on Monday. Had a cancellation, so I got two workouts in. I actually got a weight training workout, and then I got to go home and got on the Peloton. I did a session on the Peloton. And then the following day, I got sick.
And then Ish got real.
Yes. Ella got sick, and in turn, I think, decided to very...
I think you got it at the same exact time, to
yes,
be honest.
Yes, I think we did.
Like,
so.
it hit you guys almost the same day.
Yes, exactly right. Right in the middle of the night. So, I was fighting that, trying to take it easy. Did get a workout in one of those days where I wasn't feeling 100%. So, got some weight training in this week. Got a Peloton cycle in. And still trying to get back to 100% so I can get back to my regular weight training regimen. I'm getting away from it. And I don't like it.
I'm sorry.
Yes. But what about you? I think you picked up the slack a little bit this week.
I did a little bit. I did get on the bike couple times and I did some yoga. I was supposed to do a class on Tuesday night. I teach once a month, but it ended up getting canceled because the weather here in Florida wasn't cooperating. So that class got scrapped for the month and it looks like we're rescheduling, or we're just doing it next month in December. So those dates are already coming together, which is at least something.
Yep.
But, yeah, I didn't get to do any teaching this week, which was kind of a bummer, but actually because not only did Nick get sick, but Ella got sick at the same time, and Ella basically ended up staying home for, like, 3 days this week. And, even though Nick was also homesick part of that time.
Yeah.
It's still, like, just one more thing to juggle, and it was actually pretty good that I was able to allocate the time to taking care of Ella on Tuesday night.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that that was good just to get some progress this week. And then I feel like today has been a workout.
Yeah.
Like a different kind of workout. I feel like parenthood in general has just kicked my ass today. But it's funny. Like, like we said earlier, follow us on Instagram for all of those stories, since that's not what this podcast is about. But I definitely post some of the real life parent experiences up there, and posted one today, and I actually started a little highlight on my Instagram channel called, I think, Parent Life. And it's just where I'm putting all those spectacular parent moments that I will look back on time and time again and just kind of say, oh, yeah, that happened.
Yes, it was a workout, as you said, a workout in its own. And speaking of last week, we talked about self-care and some self-care practices. I did a little kind of poll on my Instagram. And I was asking people what they thought, what they consider self-care practices. And I just put four different examples out, four that we discussed last week on last week's episode. Massage, meditation, saying no, and calling friends and family. And it's interesting, for massage and meditation, I think I had about 12 participants, and all of them said for massage and meditation they were self-care.
Yep.
So they all voted for that.
That's good.
And then for saying no and calling friends and family, it was about 75-25. 75 said yes, 25% no, and it's also about 12 people each. So there's a couple people in there that don't consider those two options self-care. So
maybe
hopefully
they do it so much regardless. It's more of a chore than a
could be
self-care thing.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Hopefully, maybe they listen to the episode and see what we talk about. Maybe to if you. Obviously, everybody has their own definition of self-care, but maybe taking a little different look at it, having a different perspective on it, not just thinking whatever commercialized version of self-care is actual self-care.
I'm doing some self-care as we speak, actually.
Yes, yeah. It's funny. It's all connected, you know. When we were talking about trying to eat vegetables for the October challenge, you were cutting up vegetables for this root vegetable au gratin. And you use the worst, honestly. It is
the most terrible device ever.
It's the most terrible kitchen device there is. Let's be
terrifying.
Serious.
Terrifying.
The mandolin.
Yeah. Let's just say mandolin 2, Shannon 0.
Yeah, you didn't learn your lesson. Did you hit it in one swipe or was...
It was one swipe. Oh, okay. Two fingers.
Good. All right. Anyways, people, don't buy a mandolin. That's the
or
that's
buy the, buy a heavy duty one that doesn't move.
I think you can do. Can't you do in a food processor? Anyways, we're getting away from what we're talking about.
But
guys.
Yes. Now I am practicing some self care, very delicately tending to my wounds so that I don't lose body parts.
So we're not talking about self care necessarily on today's episode. We're going to be talking about this article that Shannon found on Well and Good, which is one of our favorite sites. It is the food trends you'll be seeing taking over Whole Foods in 2020.
Yeah, and this for the record, this is actually a press release that Whole Foods put out. So this was a big blanket announcement that pretty much. You probably spotted something about this.
Yeah, there's actually...
picked up in a lot of places.
I think Whole Foods has it on their website where they have a huge list.
Amazon.
And we are just taking it from the Well and Good. They picked 6 that we're going to discuss. So I already looked through this list and kind of... I mean, we have a couple of these things already in our fridge. We've been using them for a while. Not saying we're ahead of the game, but it's interesting that they're going to be more mainstream now. So number one... And as I mentioned, hopefully I mentioned this. If not, I'm going to mention it again. These aren't just items. They're almost also trends, too.
Yeah.
You'll be seeing a little bit more in your Whole Foods. Number one is regenerative agriculture as a priority. So I don't know how many people... shop at Whole Foods, but they list a lot of kind of animal welfare, especially like in animal protein, or, you know, the products of agriculture. They list a lot about where it was grown, who grew it, you know, especially how it was raised as far as conventional, organic, or with animal protein, how they were treated. You know, they call it like animal welfare system. They have different steps. So they, you know, tell you if it's pasture raised, if it's commercially raised, if they lived in crates or in pens or anything like that. Yeah. So they take a lot of kind of steps to give you information about how it is raised and gathered.
Yeah, there's decent amount of auditing, it looks like, on the suppliers that they choose, and those people really do have some pretty strict guidelines that they have to report on and provide. But I was excited to see one of my favorite cheesemakers listed amongst those that Whole Foods proudly includes in this regenerative agriculture category, and that's Cowgirl Creamery.
Yep.
They make some of my favorite cheese, and I've actually been by their creamery because it's right outside of San Francisco, and I passed it several times and wanted to go in and spend a week or a month there when I visit, like, Napa, when I drive out to wine country. Mm-hmm. Wine, cheese, good stuff. So, yeah, you can find that at Whole Foods, one of the consistent people that provide that. And it's amazing, awesome to know that they are amongst that group.
Yeah, and if you want to know kind of an examples of regenerative agriculture, it's like about crop rotation, incorporating animals and plants kind of very in close proximity to help basically the nutrient cycle go from plant to animal and just have it cycle around instead of being segmented or penned off or anything like that.
It's kind of like looking at a farm or looking at an agriculture area more as like an ecosystem, an entire ecosystem versus just one purpose that you bleed not until linear. It's dry.
Yeah.
And then move on. Right. It's meant to be like cyclical. And
exactly. There's a cycle. Carbon helps to be a carbon sink. I mean, we talked a little bit about that when we were doing the Impossible Burger taste test about how, you know, some farms, especially like grass-fed farms or places that raise grass-fed beef, can be actually a carbon sink opposed to, you know, a big carbon producer. So that's really cool, and it's good to see that they're kind of promoting that. So number two, I think this one's kind of right up your alley. You're notorious for doing this.
Yeah, it's more alternative flours. And I have to say, even for me, there are a lot of alternative flours that have come out that I haven't even been able to keep up with it. I, like, pride myself, I think, on this category because I like to bake.
You would.
And I also I love finding alternatives for just the straight, like, wheat, the grains that we use so frequently for flours. Obviously, I've been a heavy user of things like almond flour, even oat flour. I got a lot more into using this past year, coconut flour. But they've come out with some really interesting ones. So one that we used this past year was garbanzo bean flour, which is chickpeas. And it's actually, the nutrition on it is fantastic. And it is heavier. Like, I think you have to change the way you bake and cook when you use some of these flours. That's the big difference. It's not just a situation of one to one. You really find kind of the place for each of these.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to experiment. I really do want to try banana flour.
Yeah, I see that up there. I didn't know that existed.
Tiger nut I've heard of because they also make a milk out of tiger nut.
Tiger nuts.
Yeah, go ahead.
They do make a banana milk too.
I know.
So they found that at Whole Foods, I'm sure.
But I'm very interested to try banana flour. So, yeah,
interesting.
But there's a lot more that are, I guess, that they're saying that Whole Foods specifically, their trend spotters are really keeping a close eye out for some newcomers in the next year, which think I'm going to have to take some trips and try out some new flowers.
What would they make banana, like the banana flour out of? Just the whole fruit, or?
Well, they, I think they make banana milk, too.
Well, I know, I just, well, banana milk, I.
But wouldn't they make it out of the fruit?
I guess you can dry it and then grind it, right? Because, I mean, they have banana chips, and I guess you could just grind that into a flour?
Yeah.
But would that be like a, because, I mean, flour.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's definitely whatever something kind of sorcery they're doing in there.
Number three is foods from West Africa. And this is something I'm not very, when I read it, there was a couple of things I knew about. But the one that we've seen a lot recently is Morgina.
Moringa.
Moringa. I was so close.
Morgina.
Morgina. How dare you.
Not even close.
So,
Moringa.
I almost said it again. I almost said Morgina because of you.
Terrible influence. Oh, goodness. But yeah, this is actually, it's a very big food. It's used, gosh, I think I've seen it used kind of across the board, in health food. It's very much like one of those buzzy vegetables.
Yes. Yeah. I think I saw it, like adaptogen tea or something like that.
Yeah, it's frequently used in teas and herbal kind of formulas because it's the leaf that they use in teas.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to, you know, obviously this was one of the examples that you're probably seeing right now. In 2020, they're talking about more West African staples such as cereal grains like sorghum, teft, and millet. Now, sorghum and millet, I've heard, we actually use to plant sorghum on the farm, and there's actually a lot of the gluten-free beers that are made in the United States use sorghum instead of wheat.
Interesting.
Because it's gluten-free. Millet, the only reason I really know millet is because of Blue Apron. I remember we cooked it a couple times from Blue Apron.
Yeah.
I don't know what Tift is.
They have millet flour and stuff, too. I've actually used that before, that's something
I've heard of that.
Probably a lot of people have seen. Ooh, I don't know about Tift.
Yeah, I don't know what teft is. Anyways, so number four, this is kind of interesting.
Yeah, the fridge and freezer as the hub of the kitchen.
Getting away from fresh stuff?
I don't know. Hmm. It says, well, I think it's the idea that healthy food isn't frozen, like frozen foods aren't healthy. But I think that they're expecting that the section of the grocery store to become even more populated with healthy snacks.
You know what?
Is the refrigerated section as well as the freezer section. But I mean, I think that's actually a positive thing because that means more perishable foods, which usually mean more fresh foods.
Yep.
So the idea that they used to talk about of like, if you want to eat healthier, shop around the edges of your grocery store and stay out of the main aisles because that's where all of the, like, preserved, dry, carb-heavy foods are. So that's actually interesting.
Well, you know what I think it might be, too, is because we're getting more and more knowledge and research about how it's not bad to, like, frozen food can have just as much nutrients as fresh food. And even zapping things in the microwave doesn't really kill the nutrient value. You know, to a certain extent. I mean, you can kill something.
Yeah,
exactly. So I think people now, with that knowledge, I think people were a little bit afraid about, you know, the microwave killing all the nutrients in your food, or freezing food kills the nutrients, but it's not necessarily true with a lot of the research that's coming out now. So they're expanding to have more frozen and refrigerated food sections.
And, like, for frozen, I think especially we've found that, you know, for a family situation or a situation where maybe you can't get out to the grocery store like a few times a week, just having frozen fresh vegetables, like they freeze them at like the peak of their freshness and then they make it to you and you get to use them as needed when, like, in whatever portion size you want. It really is actually a fantastic way to get your vegetables and not feel like, you know, I think I've gone through guilt periods where I'm like, oh, we're eating so many frozen vegetables. And I'm like, wait a second, we're eating vegetables.
Yeah. And like I said, they do have nutrients in it. So yeah. You shouldn't poo-poo them. Number five is the two words together. It sounds odd. Blended meat. All right. So yeah, apparently this is a trend that you're going to see a little bit more popular. It's essentially just like it sounds. It's like meat and vegetables or fruits together. So perfect example, chicken sausage. We've seen in Trader Joe's a lot. Chicken sausage with spinach. Even Purdue and Tyson are actually coming out now with different brands of chicken with squash and feta cheese and all stuff. Basically, it's kind of like a gourmet sausage with both vegetables and meat in it. I think they'll go a little bit more so heavy on the vegetables and less on the meat. I think that's kind of the trend they're going for, but apparently you're going to be seeing more of that out in Whole Foods nowadays.
Yeah, and they still say that, yes, you're probably still going to see a lot of all-out vegan alternatives coming out, but you can also expect that those blended products will be appearing pretty much right beside them. So. Yeah.
Interesting.
Meat lovers, don't worry.
Yeah, I know.
You're still going to be represented.
Yeah. That's another whole other topic. I don't know if they should have. It's like when they have the Impossible Burger next to the grass-fed burger. All right, sorry. She's shaking her head. She's shaking me off. Nope. Okay. This, I do want to talk about this one because I am interested in this one. Number six.
More innovative alternatives to alcohol. So, yeah, this is really interesting because I think that even though there's a lot of, there's the craft beer drinkers and there's the wine drinkers and then there's the tequila connoisseurs and, there's a lot of different ways you can enjoy alcohol. I think that like many substances that can be abused, there's also an interest in, what else can we do? Like, what else can we use in place of alcohol to feel or, get the benefits probably, like if you have a drink to mellow out at the end of the day, what's a healthier alternative? Or, if you're looking for some, what are antioxidants or something like that? What's a healthier way to get antioxidants instead of a glass of wine or something?
Right. Well, it's interesting because a lot of the alternatives now they're incorporating beneficial things, like you said, adaptogens, nootropics, and botanicals into the alcohol alternative. It's really interesting because a client of mine and a buddy of mine too, Chris, we actually talked about this. Probably it might have been last year around this time, because usually in November I usually take a month off alcohol before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So he was telling me about this thing called Seedlip. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing it right. They actually talk about it in this article. It's a botanical alcohol alternative, and they make it with all types of herbal stuff, cardamom and lemon zest and orange bitters and things like that. But they package it like a bottle of alcohol. And they have like a garden variety, a wood variety. And it's like, he's like, it really kind of has the taste, it has the bite of alcohol, but doesn't have any of the alcohol in it.
Well, I can certainly appreciate this because as someone who was pregnant and then breastfed for like a year, I was about 2 years of my life that I did not drink. And it definitely taught me to more enjoy not drinking for the alcohol, but really just more than ever drinking for the enjoyment and for the like occasion and the ritual that you can kind of go together. Ooh, Palo Santo. Palo Santo is a drink? Interesting.
So, yeah, we're looking a little bit more into some of these alternative alcohol alternatives. And, I mean, like you said, just using a lot of herbs and botanicals and different things. They have this one is the seed lips right here.
So
like I said, this is the one I was talking about. They have a garden variety, and it sounds super interesting.
I wonder if it tastes like gin or something.
Yeah, because you know, I talk about how gin is made with juniper berries.
Yeah.
Now, this seed lip, let's see, what other varieties is
this? I'd love to be a gin drinker.
Because now I'm falling down the rabbit hole, and I really want to find out about seed lip.
I find it fascinating, like the things you can make drinks out of. So, I don't know that much about this, but I know it's been, like, talked about all over the place, and we in this area have a ton of those kava places popping up everywhere.
Ugh.
Those are supposed to be, like, isn't it like a...
It's terrible. I'll be the first one. Maybe I had a terrible bunch. I've heard that it
tastes like dirt.
Maybe I had
like
a terrible
dirt tea.
Experience. Yes, it's exactly. It's a gritty tea, and it numbs your mouth.
Is it alcohol, or is it an alternative? Would that fall into this?
Yeah, I think it probably would fall into this.
They are popping up all over the damn place.
It's funny.
Place.
It's kava and kratom bars are like popping up all over the place, too. Like you said, kratom is
I know we live in Hipsterville,
is our herb that you smoke, and it's supposed to give you a lot of kind of like euphoria and stuff like that, and it's supposed to help with a lot of people, supposedly with people with painkiller addictions. They use kratom a lot to help them kind of dull those cravings. So what I've heard, certain people report, but some places have made it illegal. So, but yeah, I've had kava once. I didn't like it. It didn't numb my mouth. It didn't make me feel any better than I already was. But, you know, I didn't get a very good batch, so... I don't know.
Anybody out there who's tried kava and you are like a huge like advocate for it, please tell us, because I've read articles about this and I just don't get it. And I continue to see these freaking places pop up all over the place. It's just this huge sign that says kava, kava. Mm. I mean, I go by 3 on my way to drop my daughter off to school. Says something.
It's true. You're right. I don't know what the... Maybe that's a
somebody's
trend.
Somebody's
buying it. It's a trend we need to look into. So, but yeah, those were 6 little trends that you should see popping up in your Whole Foods coming 2020. If you guys know of any other trends, maybe you're already ahead of the game, like Shannon here using the alternative flowers. We'd love to hear about it. We're all about talking about new trends. what do you think? Right off the top of your head, any trends?
Oh, gosh. I don't even know. I haven't even thought about it.
We got to actually... We usually have a 2020
We'll do our like health and fitness, like our health, fitness, wellness kind of predictions for 2020.
It's coming up sooner than you
think. 2020. That's crazy.
It's 2 months away almost.
I know. So, yeah, if you have any considerations you want us to pop in that, let us know. And definitely check out... participating in our monthly challenges. Mm-hmm. We're doing them through the end of this year, through the end of 2019. And we're doing different kind of fitness and dietary components to our challenges each month. So you may have missed out on August, September, October. Maybe you fell behind a little bit. Maybe you meant to join, you just didn't. But check out each of those challenges and definitely join us for November. We'll be sharing that in the next podcast. Mm-hmm. We'll be sharing our challenge. And let us know if you join kind of the fun of that and how it's going for you.
Yeah, that's it. You got anything else for them this week?
Nope, I need to go put some Band-Aids on.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.
I'm going to scream, I promise. Eee!
5, 4, 3.